Welcome to Nobis Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing a powerful story with Tom and Amber Lyons, sharing about a parent's worst nightmare. Don't know how else to say it. Is one of their precious children. God's entrusted them with five precious children, but one of them, Jonathan, went to take a nap and just quit breathing. And at the age of 3 months, he went to be with Jesus in heaven. It's been 5 years ago, yet the pain's still there, yet they still trust God. And you're going to hear more about that today. But I would encourage you, if you missed our first two programs, they're only 14 minutes long. People listen to them while they're getting ready for work in the morning, on the drive to work, during their lunch hour, during their 15-minute mid-morning break, just whenever they go to bed at night. But you really want to hear these two programs. I've been blessed tremendously, had tears in my eyes. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and listen to those and encourage you to listen and share those with somebody else. You can find us on iTunes. We're through the Podbean app, YouTube. You check it out, whatever's convenient for you. But easiest, quickest way might be just to go to hopeishere.today. Well, Tom and Amber, we've gotten through the part, Jonathan's with Jesus. You step out faith the next day. Your church had Saturday night services, so you went to that. And you've told me through these first two programs that God, through the pain and stuff, he still showed up. And thought there was a really powerful story, Tom, that you're sure about how God really did show up.
Yeah, so that night we, Vineyard was starting a new series called Soul Detox. Obviously, Kevin had, this had been, prepared months in advance. And so he was just moving ahead with what the plan was. And it was for the restless heart. It smacked us kind of right in between the eyes, because it was in the midst of like, what now? That's where we were at, and that's where we were struggling with God. And Kevin, he ended the sermon that week with a kind of an Ignatian like guided prayer, where he invited everybody to close their eyes, and then imagine themselves in their still place. And what was so fascinating was, we've never done this before, and I don't know that we've ever done this since. I remember when I closed my eyes, I immediately, I found myself in our basement. And when I say that, I don't mean that like I saw it in my mind's eye. I mean, like, I remember moving my head right and left, and I could see it around me. I had a visionary style experience one other time, and this is that type of experience where I was in that place, and I remember looking down and I'm seeing my son Jonathan in my arms, and I was really confused because I was down in our basement and like the TV was off and everything was quiet, and this is not what I would have imagined my still place to be, or my quiet place. But the reality is the 6 weeks prior, Amber with our twins, she had taken the whole 12 weeks off, but this time around, she'd only taken 6 weeks off, and so before going back to work. And so for the last 6 weeks, I had went kind of light on my studies, on my PhD work, and instead, I was watching our child. And so I had spent the last 6 weeks holding our son, and Jonathan would only sleep well when somebody was holding him. He always knew when somebody had set him down. And so I had spent most of the 6 weeks holding my son. And so I found myself again holding my son in our basement. And I remember looking around and then it making sense. Okay, this is my still place. But then it's funny because I remember looking to the stairs and seeing a figure beginning to come down the stairs into the basement and knowing it was Jesus. And then I remember seeing that and then hearing Kevin begin to narrate. And now imagine Jesus entering the scene. And in my mind, I was going, oh, he's already here. I see him.
Yeah.
And so I rose to meet him. And Kevin's guided prayer was something like, go and speak with Jesus or something like that. And he just left it at that. And I remember rising to meet him. And because of my theological education, I have an MDiv and I've been working on a PhD. And I know what's going to happen. Does that make sense? I've read the stories and I know the kind of the healing encounter. So my head knows this, but my heart is in the middle of this knowing and experiencing this. And so I walk up to Jesus. And he looks at me, and he says, he looks at me and he says, You know he loves you. You know he knows that you love him, right? And he reached out his arms, and I handed Jonathan over to Jesus. And Jesus looks at me and says, I've got it from here. And that wound that was a mortal wound, one that I felt like I was dying, began to heal. It didn't fix everything. The pain was still there, but it didn't feel like I was going to die any longer. It felt like there might be hope. And Kevin then invited us to give thanks to Jesus for what he's done in our lives. And it just immediately, I began to just pour out all of what God had done in our journey, bringing us to Lexington from Houston. And God had showed up in a number of miraculous and powerful ways. And I just, I remember just praising Jesus. And the service like had let out and people were walking out. I'm still on my face thanking Jesus for all that he had done in our lives, finally culminating in giving us Jonathan. And I remember getting up from that experience, looking around, and I just had like a glow on my face. And there was joy there. And my parents and everybody around me just looked like I had like four heads. Because, you know, and I remember going up to Amber and just having this smile on my face and being like, I just saw Jesus face to face, and I can't wait to tell you about it.
Wow.
And so we went back that night. We had picked up journals because her father had advised that we begin to record everything of our experience and our memories of Jonathan just so that we don't forget them. And it's something that's a journal that's very dear to my heart, and I continue to write in, even to this day, 5 years later. But I recorded all of this, and so then I begin to share with we decided to take dinner in our room that night. So as our parents watch our children and are out with the family, Amber and I kind of retreat to our bedroom, and we were eating chicken. And I begin to share. I begin to share with her what Jesus had done and what he had said and what I had seen. And then she looks at me. And she tears up a little bit as she's kind of processing and listening. And when I get done speaking, and I'm just excited, and I'm like, and this is what he's, you know, and this is what's happened. And she looks at me and says, now, let me tell you what he said to me.
And so kind of reverse back to that Saturday night church service, as we're going through this kind of time of reflection at the end of the service. Pastor Kevin was going through and saying, go to your quiet place. And so with Jonathan, my quiet place had always been the upstairs nursery. There was a bed that I would usually nurse him on. And so that's where I pictured us. I pictured me there. I pictured Jonathan there. And it was just that, you know, usually it was like 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. It was a still and quiet place at that point in time.
Definitely a still and quiet place, yes.
And so that's where my mind went. And that's where I just found peace. And, you know, and it was in that environment that then Kevin said, okay, now imagine God coming into the room. And even before Kevin made any further, like I remember feeling his presence. And then, you know, God told me very clearly. He came over, he picked up Jonathan and said, I've got him from here. Mm-hmm. And that was powerful for me. And it was reassuring for me. But I think the really neat thing was the way he told us both the same message in the same way, and just kind of added that extra little touch that only God can do.
I had mentioned in a previous show about, my doctoral advisor is Craig Keener, and so I have spent a lot of time reading miracle accounts. And one thing that stands out to me from our experience is that, like, it's not normal, like having like joint visionary experiences where Jesus says the same thing to two people at the same time. And so I recognize like this was a gift to us where Jesus came and met us where we were at, to comfort and reassure us that he's with us and that we are not alone in the midst of this. And it's not every Jesus, that's not going to happen with everyone. I recognize that. But for us, it's part of our story, and it's part of what Jesus did in that moment. And healing came through that encounter with Jesus face to face, that so deep that I it's hard to even articulate. But I would say that it wasn't the end of it, but it was the beginning of healing.
And I think one thing that's kind of, you know, even through these three sessions that we've talked through is, for me, I'm a very analytical person. I'm a very logic-driven person. And a lot of my interactions with God during this time were allowing him to touch my heart. And there wasn't a logic my brain could comprehend. And so, you know, God really met me at my heart. And that was powerful to start the healing process, because my brain couldn't get there. And I don't know that it could still get there, to be fair. And so just, I think I wanted to just articulate that sometimes God kind of comes at a different direction to help get past our initial defenses or ways that we do things. And I'm being open to see his hand and let it work. Now, it hurts when it starts up with your heart or things like that.
Yeah. And, don't go there, God, right?
It's like, I kind of try to keep that protected for a reason. But, you know, for him, it defies my logic, and he still meets me there.
Mm. So. Amen. How else have you guys seen God work through this past 5 years? Like I said, though it's still painful, the tears are still there, but just, you know, we got about a minute and a half left. What else could you share another?
I mean, I think one thing I want to share is our society really does a terrible job of grieving and mourning in general.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Sorry, but you hit on one of the things that I've talked on this program, not lately, but a lot. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, people expected us to be back to normal.
Right.
It's like their life went back to normal in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, mine has completely changed and will forever be changed.
Yeah.
And some days are a little better than others, but I'll tell you, some days I considered it a success just to get up and go into work. And it was like, that is a step in the right direction today.
That was a great win.
That was a great win. I don't know that I'm going to get anything productive done, but I at least made it out of bed, got myself dressed, and got somewhere. And give it, you know, so having a lot of grace, I think our folks don't know how to mourn.
Right.
And I think that's something that would, you know, I think we've learned better how to do that through this experience. And I tell people, I said, I hope that our story is the closest they ever get to this kind of tragedy.
Amen.
But learning how to kind of mourn and sit with others through grief is a powerful, powerful gift to give.
A year prior, one of the individuals, Ben Witherington, who's a New Testament biblical scholar at the seminary, and had come to me, or had lost a child a year before. And so when we buried Jonathan, he was the first in line to meet us in the midst of that. And a year later, and he spoke words of comfort in the midst of all of that, and helped us prepare to interact with others on this grieving process. This is a journey he had been on for a year. Ben was fantastic in speaking life and encouragement. And, you know, people are going to say a lot of dumb things in the coming days.
Yep.
And he said, you know, just have grace and compassion for them and bless them. But, you know, he just had some wisdom there. And a year later, a dear set of friends of ours, Amber had been in this girl's wedding, and they were now at the seminary, and he was pursuing.
Hold that thought, yeah. Tom. I want to hear this. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, but unfortunately we're out of time, but this is going to be a great story. Stay with us as we continue our conversation tomorrow with Tom and Amber Limes on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.